This piece was brought to you by Roberta's, robertaspizza.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
We're back. Another day in paradise. And when I say paradise, I mean Bushwick, Brooklyn, here streaming live from the back of Roberta's on the Heritage Radio Network. Hi, Judy.
Hi, Mike. I feel so lost and weird without headphones, but I kind of like it. Is there like a tape playing that Judy sucks in the background? Because I wouldn't know.
It's very liberating, isn't it?
It is kind of liberating.
Here in our modern recording facilities here at Heritage Radio, in our clubhouse.
Well, Mike, I have to tell you, the most important news of the week is that I'm having a big fat gentrification tag sale next Saturday, May 24th. Me and all my neighbors are being evicted, so we're selling all our crap on the street.
This is reality. This is the harsh
this
reality.
This is the new Williamsburg.
Yeah. So how's that been going, by the way? I know you're on your way to Jackson Heights, the last outpost.
Yes. Hopefully, now that I've bribed the management company, they'll look at our application and we'll get in. But
you're going to be a have.
I'm going to be a have. But we're having this tag sale, so you can buy all my used crap at 234 North 11th Street between Roebling and Union in beautiful Williamsburg. We're going to have a kitten selfie booth because my friends do animal rescue. And every time they do it, you know, they'll adopt out like one cat, but then a billion hipsters will want their jackass picture taken with the kitten. So I'm like, you have to monetize this shit. We're going to make a booth. We're going to charge these idiots like $3 to get their pictures taken with a kitten, not have any change. So they'll end up giving like $5, but it all goes to the kittens. So it's a win-win. They can feel good about themselves and have a picture with a kitten.
That sounds right. How do I get my cat Jeepster in on this action?
You can come and adopt a new kitten, a new little sister.
I'm too busy pimping the one I've got.
Jeepster's cute, but he's not a little kitten. Anyway, we have
speaking of kittens. Last time we saw our friend Lux, well, I saw our friend Lux, was kitten day, and boy, was I stoned. That was a good day. Hi, Lux.
Hi, yeah, that was so fun. And now I have a kitten of my own.
Oh, the cutest kitten with a little peg leg.
Yes, yeah. She when she was in utero, the umbilical cord got wrapped around one of her back legs, so her foot didn't fully develop. So she's just got the back pad, which is good because she can run and jump and all this, and the vet was like, oh, if she didn't have a foot at all, they might have to amputate the leg because otherwise it would get irritated. But she's got the pad protection. She's just missing a bunch of toes, and so she's a little pirate.
She's a pirate with herpes, as
yeah,
we found
yes.
out.
You can imagine that
no
Evan's
shame.
Playing crying, mewing kitten sounds, if you like, Judy. But
okay, I can't hear anything.
And this was going to be our comedy show.
I know, but if you watch her videos on, she has an Instagram page.
She has Instagram and Twitter on both of them. She's Shoko, S-H-O-K-O, the pirate. Shoko the pirate on Twitter and Instagram. The cutest little animal on 3 feet.
I feel like I really haven't been optimizing the cuteness of my cat properly.
No, you know, I got this cat, and I was like, I have a cat. I mean, I don't even want to say she's disabled, because it doesn't really hold
her
back.
She's differently abled.
She's differently abled. But I was like, but the internet loves, A, cute cats, and it loves cats that are deformed.
This is your gravy train,
I know. I'm like, this cat, like, I don't want a freeloading cat. This cat needs to be, like, pulling in money off of its congenital birth defect.
Well, we have two other guests here. We don't know their cat status yet. Jessica Delfino and Micah Sherman, welcome.
Hi. Hello, and thank you for having me on this program.
Thank you for coming. Micah's a comedian, musician at the Pit every Saturday night. And Jessica is somewhere every single night. She's at the Chicks and Giggles thing on Sunday night.
Tonight.
Oh, yeah, it is tonight.
Chicks and Giggles reunion.
But they're both part of the upcoming Funny Song Fest.
The New York Funny Songs Fest, yes. Very excited about it.
Three I agree.
Of New York City's only comedy, parody, and novelty music festival. So we're pretty excited.
I feel like there aren't enough funny songs anymore. I feel like in my youth there were a lot. The novelty song, I don't know what the golden age of the novelty song would have been, but we're talking about when we were growing up, we had Dr. Demento,
who was really perpetrating this stuff. Dr. Demento kind of led to Weird Al. And Weird Al has...
Who's really, really funny, and those videos are, like, pretty spot on and terrific. I feel like
Super
when I...
Smart.
Even see, King Tut was a big hit for Steve Martin.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and then actually comedy records themselves. Now, I used to go out and buy.
Now it's really just, like, The Lonely Island.
The Lonely Island, Tenacious D a little bit. Sarah Silverman had a couple kind of hits, but...
Flight of the Conchords is a band.
Flight of the Conchords is one.
Stephen Lynch is a person who sings comedy songs.
Yeah. Yeah, he did.
I just think maybe you've fallen out of touch.
Yeah. Maybe that could be it. That could be it. Or maybe I just superannuated my way out of touch with
YouTube brought a lot of, you know, comedic musicians back into the world, I think. It gave
yeah,
a kind
Justin
of venue.
Bieber. Yeah. Miley Cyrus is a good one.
She's hilarious.
She's very funny. Very funny.
Well, why don't we start off by hearing a song from Jessica?
I think we should. Let's hear a song from Jessica. So,
what are we going
to
hear?
I've been working on this folk song that I'm trying to get back to my roots, my folk roots. I grew up in Maine, and so Joni Mitchell and I wrote this song together, and it goes something like this.
She's funny.
She's hilarious. What makes the stars all twinkle and shine? What's the difference between a pancake and a crepe? What makes Ryan Gosling so very damn fine? And what's a legitimate rape? And how do these clueless officials get elected to office? Conundrums like this, they amaze and astound. Oh, the world is a wondrous, mysterious place. So many questions abound. This is a short one. What makes the stuff in frogs' asses make you trip? What's the difference between a bodega and a store? Why can't the word vagina be said aloud on the Michigan State House floor? And why are these politicians so concerned with what happens in parts that their God gave us? So many questions abound. Last verse. I think it's neat when folks worship spirits. It's goth and it's hip and that's cool. But there's a vast difference between being holy and having a hole to tend to. And why does lightning make a sound? Oh, the world is a wondrous, mysterious place. So many questions abound.
All right.
Yeah. Is there the sound of applause playing?
Yes, and the kittens mewing.
That was good. I mean, it's no Victor Borgia, right, Mike? But
we call him Shecky around here, okay?
You sound like Joni Mitchell. I never realized that.
Joni Mitchell and I have been writing together for a long time. She doesn't know it, but we have, yeah.
You've been channeling her.
Well, we have one of your songs queued up. What are we going to hear as your contribution to this?
Oh, you want to hear?
Yeah, let's give it a twirl. Okay. Tell us what we're going to hear.
Yeah, I play in a comedy duo with Mike Kaplan. We're called Mike Kaplan and Micah Sherman. And we're actually going to drop a mixtape this Saturday at Union Hall at 9:30. If
Not
you want to
Saturday.
No,
next
no, it's
Saturday.
It's next Saturday. Yeah. That is next
That's
Saturday.
That's part of the Funny Film Fest.
Today's Sunday, right?
Yes.
Next Saturday.
It's next Saturday? No.
there's another weekend. Memorial Day weekend's next weekend, right? And then it's the weekend after.
And then after that, we can wear white shoes.
What day is it? God, help me. I need to get a job.
At some Saturday in the future,
it's one of these
there will be
weekends.
A mixtape party at Union mm-hmm. Hall.
It'll be
it's Saturday the 25th,
it's
right?
May 31st.
Jesus. Yeah. What is May 25th? Is that Memorial Day?
It's Memorial Day.
Oh, man, I got big plans Memorial Day, you guys. All right, so this is the first track off of our mixtape called the Micah Mike Mega Mixtape. It's sort of like an uplifting song to help you through downtimes.
Never fear, there's nothing to fear except death and pain. Never fear, there's nothing to fear except death and pain. And loneliness, and heartache, and losing your best friend to AIDS, or prostate cancer, or diabetes, type 1 or 2 or AIDS, or someone breaking into your house while you're sleeping, and stealing your baby right out of his crib, and then returning it all messed up with AIDS. So have no fear, there's nothing to fear except AIDS. Do we make that clear? We're really scared of AIDS. We're really scared of AIDS. But fortunately, there's lots of treatment and preventative education, except in Africa, where there's lots of less of that and lots more of AIDS. So have no fear, there's nothing to fear except for fear itself of AIDS. Or maybe to have our children be stolen and sold into some sort of sadistic sexual Sudanese slavery ring, where they're consistently coerced into non-consensual coitus, continually contracting AIDS. How can you bring children into a world where this is possible? How can you be so cavalier? Now we both understand that's not how HIV works. It's just part of this irrational fear. Our girlfriends have told us we're afraid of commitment, and we're using this issue as an excuse. So have no fear, there's nothing to fear except marriage and child abuse, or falling in love with the wrong woman, or childhood AIDS. We're not afraid to commit. We're committed to being afraid of relationships.
did anyone ever count, like in the movie Wolf of Wall Street, how many times the word the can we swear on this show?
Yeah, yeah.
How many times the word fuck was uttered on Wolf of Wall Street? So, like, did anyone ever count how many times the word AIDS was used in that song, Micah?
Yeah, it's about 411-y.
Well,
11-y, that's my lucky number.
So I guess you're of the school that if it's funny, then it's okay to say anything. If it's funny, we can get away with it.
Yeah, you can say, I mean, you even if it's not funny, you can say whatever you want.
I'm not so sure about that. What do we think about Joan Rivers' joke about the kidnapped Ohio people and her refusal to apologize?
I love Joan Rivers so much. I didn't hear her joke, but
I actually didn't remember hearing the joke. I heard about the hubbub, but I didn't hear
the joke. That's the internet for you. Yeah. You hear about like the outrage, but yeah. I have no idea what
you
she said.
At all?
I assure you guys, you can say whatever the fuck you want to say.
That's true.
Except I'm going to kill the president, and there's a fire in this theater.
yeah, well, you know, I mean, I come from that. If it was funny, you could always say it, but invariably someone's going to make a racist joke, and there's going to be some sort of outrage, or
you're going to do a song about
child's AIDS, and someone's going to be outraged.
I think it sucks that you have to move into the era where everyone else lives. Like, Joan Rivers has been living in her own little world and her bubble for, you know, 100 years now. Was she 102 this year? Mm-hmm. And, you know, she's now she has to all of a sudden change and go in, you know, from the era she was living in into this new era. And my grandfather, Kaloharo Rizzo, sailor slash big mouth, you know, I grew up, hearing him talk about, like, women's whose pussies he was going to eat and all this crazy shit. And that was, like, the era that he was from and the life that he was from, you know. And
also, she doesn't have to change anything that she's doing. If she has an audience and people find it funny, then fine. Some people don't find it funny, don't listen to Joan Rivers.
Don't go to
Joan Rivers. She and her fans are going to die soon anyways, and they're not because, like, gay men in their 20s love her. So how about we all take our sticks out of our bottoms and just talk to each other?
Yeah, I am of the opinion you can kind of say whatever you want. You have to recognize that some people might not find it funny and just be able to be like, well, fuck them. I like horribly offensive things, but I also hang out with comedians. Although it was funny, I was talking to someone who is a writer for one of the late night shows, and they were saying they like did an AIDS joke, and then they were like, oh, and it just sort of killed the vibe, and we just realized like you can't do anything after that.
Well, you also like a lot of people, like when you make like an AIDS joke or something, it has to be extra funny. It has to be really funny. Like this girl in Rockaway who had the domestic violence themed hotel, she says it was just a joke, but a joke should be funny. And like sleeping in the Chris Brown bunk, there's really nothing funny about that.
Was that the Tempura House, the home for lightly battered women?
Oh.
Yeah, yes, no?
Yeah. I appreciate
crickets.
It.
Crickets.
You got a chuckle out of me.
It took me a second. Sorry.
So you're doing a show this week coming up, Lux?
Tell us about it.
I am, and actually there will probably be some mentions of AIDS during my show. So I used to, in a former life, I worked with teenagers as a sex educator, and because of that I have a lot of god-awful sex ed movies, and some good sex ed movies, but a lot of them are from the 90s, so they are just hilarious by that fact alone.
Oh, honey, I wish you had the ones we saw.
Oh, I have some older ones, too, but yeah, but I do this show, The Wonderful World of Boning, which will be 8 p.m. Wednesday at Union Hall, and it's me, and I get two comedians, so this time it's going to be Hallie Kiefer and Joey Gay, and we do sort of an MST3K for these. We screen them. We make fun of them and talk about sex ed. So there's definitely one that I'm showing where a dude gets chlamydia.
Mm.
Or maybe it's gonorrhea. I think he gets chlamydia, but he gets one of the curable ones.
Do you guys have like Monistat 7 as a sponsor? You should talk to them about that.
Oh, I do need to talk to them.
Monistat 7 is such an old reference. I think they went down to 3-in-1.
No, but they still make the 7-day one because if you're cheap...
Yeah,
it's right. Like, that's the one that's like $3 now.
You can go to Sam's Club and get a Monistat 28 if you're.
All valuable information for the Arts and Seizures listening audience, I'm sure. Tell you what, why don't we take a quick break? I thought maybe we'd go back, way back to the days of Dr. Demento and an all-time favorite while the pizza's coming in, I hope. So, Evan, why don't you twirl Napoleon the 14th, and we'll be right back here on Arts and Seizures.
Remember when you ran away and I got on my knees and begged you not to leave because I go berserk? Well, you left me anyhow, and then the days got worse and worse, and now you see I've gone completely out of my mind. And they're coming to take me away, ha-ha, they're coming to take me away, ho-ho, hee-hee, ha-ha, to the funny farm where life is beautiful all the time, and I'll be happy to see those nice young men in their clean white coats, and they're coming to take me away, ha-ha! You thought it was a joke, and so you laughed, when I had said that losing you would make me flip my lid. Right? You know you laughed. I heard you laugh. You laughed and laughed, and then you left. But now you know I'm utterly mad. And they're coming to take me away, ha-ha. They're coming to take me away, ho-ho, hee-hee, ha-ha. To the happy home with trees and flowers and chirping birds and basket weavers who sit and smile and twiddle their thumbs and toes, and they're coming to take me away, ha-ha. I cooked your I cleaned your house, and this is how you pay me back for all my kind, unselfish, loving deeds. Ha! Well, you just wait. They'll find you yet, and when they do, they'll put you in the ASPCA, you mangy mutt! And they're coming to take me away, ha-ha!
My name is Brandon Hoy, co-owner of Roberta's, a super-duper awesome place. Roberta's is a very, 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 very proud sponsor of the Heritage Radio Network. We're also super awesome. Thank you, Heritage!
And we're back.
So, Jessica, you actually met Dr. Demento.
I did. I went to L.A. a couple weeks ago, and I did a little interview for the Dr. Demento documentary coming out, which is called Under the Smogberry Trees.
Oh, so it's really like a documentary.
It's a Dr. Demento. Terry.
I appreciated that.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Let's get on top of it, guys, and start laughing.
And it was a really cool experience. I had a couple of my songs on this show, not on the radio show, but on the internet version. But I've been listening.
That's incredible. I mean, I loved the Dr. Demento show when I was growing up.
I love it,
and,
too.
And, you know, and forgive me because, yeah, I am old. But to me, that was the golden age because there was just so much stuff coming out. It wasn't television-based. It was just out of context, just like kooky people putting out things on 45 RPM records.
It was really special. It was a really special show. And I remember listening to it for the first time when I was about 5. My dad let me, you know, play poker with the guys that night. And I had my jokers and I was, like, playing, you know, poker, and we were listening to all the songs on this show, and I remember being like, it's the Dr. Demento show. And
just, you're cheating at poker with your dad's friends?
I was using the jokers. I was playing kid poker, you know. You know, you did it. No?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Taking old men for their money, it's called.
Well, what was he like? Was he a laugh riot? Or?
He was really sweet. I mean, he's older now, so, you know, he's like, he's older, so he's talking about health issues a lot and things of that nature.
Prostate cancer.
Hilarious.
Well, his wife is, you know, she was not really doing so well that day, so she was on her way to the doctor, and there were some things like that. But we had made an appointment to have this really nice lunch in Hollywood, and I was going to, like, take him out to lunch, and I was really excited, and he called me, and he got food poisoning. And he said, I can't make it to L.A., so please, will you maybe come to me? So I drove out to meet him in Long Beach, which was like about an hour away. And we ended up going to Panera's, which was a little sad. But it was a really nice lunch. We had a great chat. We talked all, you know, I asked him all these questions about different performers. And he gave me a lot of gossip, you guys, a lot of, which I can't share with
like
you.
Real, because people who make comedy records are the filthiest people with the worst vices of all, I believe.
Comedians in general are just kind of, like we were saying, a little more. A little desensitized because they hear so much craziness their friends. And
well, I used to work for Screw Magazine, and before that I was a writer for Hustler Magazine, and it always, your sense of reality was very warped. It's like, how far can we go? Mm-hmm. And I remember when we were doing the Manchurian Cocksucker, which was basically a photo montage of Hillary Clinton being bent over and force-fed a dildo by George Bush.
George Bush.
Well, you know, our basic MO was we had a big pile of 8x10 black and white stills from gay pornos, and we just glue and paste our favorite politician's head. It's on there. And that year it was John Kerry and George Bush.
That was before
mission accomplished. I did want to play something far more innocent, though, by one of my favorite recording artists of all time, Dickie Goodman, Mr. Jaws.
Yes,
and this was actually a hit. Where they would play it over and over again. So
I actually started to make a song like this recently.
When I was a kid,
it's so hard.
I remember when I was a kid and I had my first Panasonic tape player, that yellow kind of bubbly, very modern looking thing. We'd always try to do jokes like this and stuff. And the guy actually had a career making records like this. Can you play a little bit of Mr. Jaws for us, Evan, please? This was the apex of comedy at the time.
Mm-hmm. We are here on the beach where a giant shark has just eaten a girl swimmer. Well, Mr. Jaws, how was it? And what did she say when you grabbed her?
Please, mister, please.
I know sharks are stupid, but what did you think when you took that first bite?
How sweet it is.
Mr. Jaws, before you swim out to sea, have you anything else to say?
I can't breathe.
With me now is the local sheriff. Sheriff Brody, the shark will be back for lunch. What do you intend to do? Just arriving is oceanographer Matt Hooper. Sir, if someone is attacked by a shark, What should they do? We are going aboard the fishing boat of...
That was the great Dickie Goodman. Can you believe? I mean, that was not only his only hit. He had Mr. President and some gag about the energy crisis. And it was always the same format. And... You know, they would play this like on WABC, WABC in New York, between, you know, Three Dog Night and Creedence Clearwater Revival or whatever was happening
didn't
at the time.
Too long. Didn't he have the space one, too?
That's right. He had the outer space ones and the Earth versus the aliens and stuff. But
you know what
a crazy way to make a record, to make a living.
Rap albums used to have skits in them all the time, too. Like, up until, the internet, up until people, like, started releasing mixtapes on the internet, people would listen to whole rap albums, and the interstitials would always be comedy skits featuring the rappers and their friends.
Like that Lauryn Hill record. That was a laugh. Her little rap in between was not so funny. But
I love doing that with my stuff, though. Like for my Christmas album I did, you had to call Santa's like workshop, and then he put you on hold, and all the songs were the hold music that were while you were on hold for Santa's workshop. It was really fun, and I love putting a little bit of that into the album. It just makes it fun.
So you had another song that you wanted to play for us, and I believe you composed it on a rape whistle.
Yeah, this is a song I wrote on my rape whistle because, as we all know, rape whistles don't make very good weapons, so I figured if I wrote a good song on my rape whistle, maybe my attacker would dance away. And
contrary to popular belief, rape whistles are always funny.
So this is a legitimate rape whistle.
It was written on a rape whistle, yeah, and we have it on queued up on the CD.
Okay, good. Well, let's take a listen to this, and I guess we can talk about whether rape jokes are funny or not. Evan, give it a twirl, please.
You look angry and horny as hell. Are you mentally ill or did you just get out of jail? I'm assuming he's your target, but what do you know? Because I got this whistle and I'm ready to blow. So don't rape me. Don't rape me. Don't rape me. You look really scary and you're moving fast, but I'm looking for a love that's going to last. I got BO, I haven't showered for days, and it's quite possible that I got the big AIDS. So don't rape me. Don't rape me. Don't rape me. Well, you hear about rape on the news and TV, and the man don't.
So what do you think, Ms. McGuire?
I'm mortally offended. Jessica, get out of here now.
That's
no,
it.
I
this
totally,
time you've done it, McGuire, booking these
totally
these
understand.
Rape people.
You know, why would somebody want to write a song about how rapists are horrible? I totally get it.
Rapists are misunderstood a lot of times. No, I you know, I'm pretty uptight when it comes to rape jokes because I kind of think they're usually not funny. But that was fine. That was funny.
Can I say something about rape jokes? I stand by what I said. You can say anything you ever want to. We have that right. There are certain words. Rape, cunt, the N-word.
Retarded.
Retarded.
Midget.
These are like big turnoff words for large swaths of people. So even if a rape joke is like, that's technically funny. If I could remove myself from the situation and not be reminded of the time that I was raped.
Exactly. Because what, like one in four people have been raped?
Precisely.
Mm-hmm. And I can't believe that in this day and age, people are still raping people, and we still have to say, hey, don't rape each other.
I will say, I'm okay with some rape jokes. I mean, for me, what it is I'm not okay with jokes where the victims and survivors of rape are targets.
Exactly.
I think that's an issue. But I think jokes that are about, like, yeah, about how fucked up rape is,
yes,
and about, like, the culture of fear and just all the stuff, that I think is funny. And it's like the way I feel with like racist jokes. Like jokes that are about like racism being completely ridiculous and terrible,
right,
are really funny to me. But like jokes that are like, haha, black people are stupid, are not funny.
Not
to
funny,
me.
Yeah. It's all about the power in this.
What
situation.
About the jokes about black men having giant penises and white men and women live in fear of them at all times? Because that's basically was the raison d'etre of Hustler magazine for 10 years.
I actually did. I did the one time I did a stand-up set, it was this, like, 5-minute set, and the beginning was just this whole thing about how it's way more, for me, it's just, like, way more stressful to get a dude naked than a woman, because you don't know what penis is going to look like. And the punchline of the joke was that racism is a really terrible way to guess what a dick is going to look like.
So many sad little surprises waiting for you.
I have been with African-American men with completely Caucasian penises.
Yes.
By the way.
I've been with black women with enormous dicks.
Yes.
And I think next week we'll talk about the wonder of the Jukok. But we're going to save that for next week because, as usual, this is the fastest half hour on the internet today. But before we go, Lux, tell us again where you're going to be, where we can see your big boner.
This Wednesday at Union Hall at 8 p.m. Doors open at 7:30.
I can't wait to see you there. And once again, the Funny Film Festival, where we can
New
find
York
you.
New York Funny Songs Festival. It's May 29th, 30th, and 31st. We're going to be in Manhattan on Friday, in Queens on Thursday, and Brooklyn on Saturday. And you can find out more at nyfunnysongs.com and get tickets there. Awesome. All the shows are $10 in advance and $12 at the door, and no fee, thanks to our sponsor at ptix.com.
Awesome. But most importantly, where can I get my kitten selfie?
The kitten selfie, 234 North 11th, Williamsburg. Judy.McGuire@gmail.com if you have any questions. Micah, where can we find you?
At Prof Dork on Twitter.
Excellent.
Yeah, at Jessica Delfino on Twitter.
Well, that's a whole lot of information. Jessica, were you going to play one more song for us?
Play
one more for us on our way out?
Do you want me to play one more?
Okay. We would love it more.
Put her guitar away.
We would love it more than anything else. But
this song is called Raping Is Not Funny. I'm just kidding. That's not what the song's called. This song is actually called... This is a song that Micah's song inspired me to play. And it goes like this.
All right. See you guys next week in Arts and Seizure one more time. Take us away.
Brooklyn!
2, 3, 4. You should go to sleep right now. You should go to sleep right now. Close your eyes and rest your head, and I'll tuck your body into bed. Be glad that you are young right now, because it just gets worse from here. You will encounter disappointment at every stage of your life, I promise you. And most of your dreams will not come true. Though people try to tell you they do, they're liars. I promise life will be full of awkward confrontations, and you'll get stuck in 10,000 awful conversations. You'll be late to an important meeting, and someday you will get in a fight and end up bleeding. Someone you love will not love you back, and you will never, never win the lottery. You will feel emotions such as anger, pain, and sadness over and over. And listen to me, you will probably get into at least one car accident. And you will make foes, that means enemies. You will lose close friends and relatives to cancer and other horrible, unpredictable scenarios. And then you will die, 'cause everybody dies. Life is but a fleeting string of sorrow, but don't think about that right now. Just close your eyes and think about angels and rainbows. You should go to sleep right now. You should go to sleep right now. And remember, even though you're an accident that almost ruined mommy's life, mommy loves you most of the time.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.